Hey, closet dwellers and closet busters. It is Friday. It is Friday, August 11th. That means it is time for another uncloseted riff and rant. And can you believe it's already, like, what? We're going into the third week of August already? It's crazy. Crazy how time flies. And I think that's what kind of got me on this tangent today about paying attention. You see, for about the last 6 weeks or so, I seem to have just been traveling. I've been to Orlando, Portland, Las Vegas, San Luis Obispo, California, Santa Cruz, California, and it's just been kind of crazy. Now, I love traveling for the most part. Sometimes it's not too much fun. But as I was traveling, I realized I was really starting to pay attention to things. And sometimes when you're traveling, it's hard to do that because there's so much going on. But I also was listening to a friend of mine, Neen James, who is a fantastic public speaker. She focuses a whole lot on attention in her speeches and talks and workshops and things such as that. And it got me thinking about, what do I want to start paying attention to? And so I set my sights on just paying attention to life in general as I was traveling all these places. And I came up with these 10 things that paying attention caused me to see and caused me to really just kind of wrap my arms around. And there are 10 things that have helped me over the last, I don't know, 5-6 weeks, but also there are things that I think will help you. So I'm going to go with number one that started last week in Las Vegas. What was so interesting is I realized how many people are as uncomfortable at socializing as I am when I get put into a network mixer thing. And I went in with the intention of, I'm just going to have fun, I'm just going to say hello to people, I'm going to talk to whoever walks by me. And what was amazing was just saying hello, saying hi, I actually got some people who I could tell was really uncomfortable because they're like, somebody's talking to me. And what that made me realize is, wow, I'm not as different as everybody else. The second thing that I noticed was, man, when you ask for help, a lot of people are willing to do this. So starting clear back in July when I went to National Speakers Association, then I went to World Domination Summit, and then I went to Las Vegas for the Gay and Lesbian Chamber Conference. I went to my daughter's orientation week sort of thing, well, two-day thing, getting her ready for college. Traveled to my other daughter to say hi. I just noticed that, man, everywhere that I went and asked for help, I actually got help. And sometimes we're afraid to ask for help because we think that makes us look weak or whatever it is. So I started paying attention to how many people are afraid to ask for help, and there's a whole lot of them. But when you ask for help, 9 times out of 10, 90% of the time, you're going to get some help. You're going to get some support. The third thing I noticed is there's always a common thread. And this came through this week when I was working with, I've got a group coaching call I do with guys that are all gay men that have been clients of mine. Some of them are current. And I noticed that when they all show up for these conversations, there's always a common thread. And then started looking at my own life and going, what's the common thread right now? And this week, the common thread has been trying to pull a common thread together. And it wasn't just in my work. It was in every aspect of my life. But when you can focus on the common thread, what's amazing is suddenly you can pull all the dots together and go, wow, this has actually happened in most areas of my life. I see the thread, I see the dot, now let's go, let's address it, let's fix it, let's be with it, whatever we want to do, and then suddenly life gets better. So, always look for the common thread, because I guarantee you when you're having challenges and stuff, the common thread is there, it's in every aspect of your life. The fourth thing I notice is that passion is usually the first thing to go, and I'm not just talking about it in sex life, I'm talking about in life in general. As soon as the shit starts hitting the fan, as soon as you start getting challenged, your passion for whatever you're doing is often the first thing to go, or the passion for your passion projects. It's like, okay, got to set the passion project aside, can't focus on this. So I was doing another group workshop, and this was kind of the theme, the common thread, once again, and I made a little suggestion, and these were all business owners. So I said, so how many of you actually know what your people are passionate about? Not a lot of them knew. They knew what they could do well at work. They knew all that stuff. So I made this suggestion that they start a passion bucket and they put in those passion buckets what everybody is passionate about. And then once a month they get their teams together and they read what the passions are, and they can change from month to month because you might be passionate about, you know, wine one month. You might be passionate about helping, you know, save the planet. The next month you might be passionate about animal rescue, whatever it is. But don't let your passions die when you start to feel the challenge. Always remember, I'm passionate about this, and I'm going to get through this challenge because I want to be able to step back into my passion. The next thing I started noticing is, man, hurrying is a reaction to worry. That's what happens when we start to worry, is we start to hurry. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but and if you hear me tapping in the background, it's because my screen went down and I want to be able to see what I'm recording. But I never thought of it until I sat down today, because I've kind of been hurrying, doing things, getting things done, getting ready. My husband and I are getting ready to go to dinner, all that sort of good stuff. And I'm like, wow, hurry is about worrying about making sure everything else gets done. So what if we reversed it? What if we took the worry out of it? I wonder how much less we would hurry in our lives. The sixth thing I noticed that I really started paying attention to is how many people, myself included, hands raising right here, are not impeccable with their word. And what I mean by that is, you say something, but you don't realize the impact that what you say has on other people. And I've been really trying to pay attention to this, because I know for me, this can be one of my worst rabbit hole moments, is when I go down into that and I can fume about somebody. I don't necessarily say things about them, but I know they're right there, and in a moment it could come out. So I noticed other people are not as impeccable with their word either. And it was just an observation. Not really going to hand anything out here other than to say, watch what you say, be impeccable with your word, because it not just affects you, it affects everyone around you. I happened to be having a conversation with another speaker a few weeks ago out on the road, and I said something like, well, I just feel like I'm doing something like everybody else. And the first thing that she said is, but Rick, nobody is doing it your way. And that was so powerful, because it made me come back to what I know intuitively and what I say to clients when I'm working with them, is nobody can do this your way. In fact, Oprah says this a whole lot about, we are all put here on the planet to do our unique version of us that nobody else can do. And the more I started looking around and looking at, especially in the speaker world, and last week when I was at the Chamber of Commerce for the National Gay and Lesbian Chambers, I noticed how much similarities there were, but how much differences there were in what everybody was doing. So when you feel down, you feel like you're not able to do what you want to do, just remember, nobody is doing it the way that you're doing it. The next thing I really discovered, because somebody was haranguing me today while I was on a conference call about, you just need a smile, and I realized how much a smile is a trigger. A smile can be a trigger that gets other people to smile, and when someone says you're not smiling enough, it can be a trigger too. And it's something that I realize for myself, sometimes I get all wrapped up in myself and I need to smile more. So I'm sitting here smiling as I talk. I don't know if you can hear it, but I got a big smile on my face. Let the smile be the trigger that wakes you up, that gets somebody happy, that helps you see things differently, that helps other people see things differently. Pay attention to the smiles. So how did I do this? Well, the last time I was in an airport, which was a couple of weeks ago, I literally sat on the sidelines and counted how many people for 5 minutes were walking past me smiling. Now, there were hundreds of people that were passing me, but in a 5-minute time frame in a busy airport, I only counted 40 people smiling. Now, I know that number may be like, well, so what, Rick? You don't know the total number. But I can tell you this, I started counting after I counted the smiles. I took 1 minute and I counted how many people passed by me. And in 1 minute's time, close to 100 people passed by me. So if we take the 100 times the 5 minutes that I spent, that would be 5 minutes. And out of 5 minutes, potentially 500 people, only 40 people walked by with a smile on their face. Just saying. The next thing I came up with, number 9, was expectations can kill the fun of life. I was having a little trouble reading down what I wrote here. Reading what I wrote down, that didn't come out right. But you get my drift. And I thought, man, I expect so much sometimes out of things, and then that kills the fun and the joy and the spontaneity of life. And so I made a vow to kind of stop doing that. Not just kind of, I want to stop doing that. And when I hear somebody else putting expectations on things, I started interrupting them saying, you know, you're putting a really big expectation on this, so I'm going to encourage you to have fun with life instead of expecting things from life. And the last thing I want to talk about is too much traffic. There's too much traffic on freeways. There's too much traffic in our heads. There's too much traffic in our gyms. There's too much traffic. And when you encounter too much traffic, here's what I'm going to suggest. get out of the traffic. Get out of the traffic of your head. Get out of the traffic on the freeway if you can. Get out of the traffic at the gym. Get out of the traffic in the grocery store, because what we start to see is, oh my God, we're surrounded by traffic, 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 traffic. And then what happens? We're living in a traffic world and we're stressed and we're like pushed to the limits. So every once in a while, get yourself out of the traffic. I was driving home yesterday from a couple of appointments. Traffic was really heavy and I thought, you know what? I could sit here and be frustrated in traffic, or I could get off the freeway and start letting my little Waze app help me figure out ways to get home. Now, granted, I kind of knew where I was, so I started winding around on, you know, streets and stuff. But what was so much fun was listening to Waze trying to, get me back onto the freeway, get me back into the traffic. But what I discovered was some really cool little neighborhoods and things such as that. So get out of the traffic. And with that, I'm going to kind of just, well, not kind of. That's one of my things I need to quit saying. So if you hear me say kind of, I want you to send me emails. That's one of the things I'm going to start doing, is paying attention, putting my attention on the right things and trying to point them out to myself and gently show them to other people on ways that you can uncloset yourself from things in life when you start to pay attention. So that's it. Have a great weekend. Thank you for being here. And never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into making big, bold moves that enable you to live your life uncloseted. I'm Rick Clemens, the host of this little show. In just a couple of weeks, we're going to have a brand new show. And a week from today, we are going to be celebrating our 200th episode of The Coming Out Lounge. So yippee, everybody get ready to celebrate. Have a great weekend. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.